We're going to continue today in our message series, The Good Life. We've been walking through the book of Ecclesiastes. In the service before this, we recognized our graduates. It was a good time. We've got some high school. We had a couple of college graduates as well. Just kind of a celebration of newness, right? A new start. You remember high school graduation, many of you, if you've been there, had it all figured out, right? Knew it all, right? No, just me? Okay, well, that's good. I thought I had it all figured out right at high school, and had a chance to just recognize those students and just celebrate their accomplishments. That was an exciting time of life, I know, and they're really excited about it. A lot of them graduating this week or next, and so good stuff. Well, it worked out well in our message series that I thought, well, God's perfect timing. We were going to do Ecclesiastes chapter 7, at least the first half of it, and it's about wisdom. And man, what more do you need when you graduate high school, right, than or college? Also, actually, what more do I need now than to pray for wisdom, right? And so I realize you're here and you're like, well, Justin, I didn't just graduate from high school, but I promise you today's message is applicable to all of us. And so I pray that you're able to just hear and listen today as we look at God's word. So you can go ahead and start turning to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We're going to read the first 12 verses. I'm going to catch you up for just a minute. We've been on this journey through this book. We're at over halfway, so we're kind of on the back heel slide, but we're still just kind of continuing to ask questions, just continuing to realize as we've listened to the preacher here that it's okay for us to ask questions. When we walk through life, I mean, there are just going to be questions that come up, and you don't have to think hard to realize, you know, sometimes we ask the question, why does this happen to me and not to somebody else? Or why did they live a long life and that person's life get cut short? And why, you know, I mean, you can ask the why question to really almost anything. And so the preacher told us in Ecclesiastes, it's okay for us to ask questions. We just got to make sure that those questions point us back to God. And they point us back to the truth of His Word and of who He is. And that's really the essence of what we've been looking at, is who God is. Who is God? What is it that makes Him who He is and makes us to live a good life? And so we talked about one of the ways we can live a good life is to worship. We've done that via song today. We're going to do that via the Word. And part of worship, if you remember, was sometimes just being quiet, just sometimes listening to God. And then we talked about a couple of words that are going to come up again today. And we talked about madness and folly. You may remember me talking about those. Sometimes we said it's madness and folly for us to seek after gain from this life, from this world. And we said we do that how? We do that by chasing after money. We do that by chasing after things. We do that by chasing after pleasure. And even we said, this is kind of odd, we do that by chasing after wisdom. You're like, wait. Wisdom is a good thing, isn't it? Yes, it is. And we're going to look at that today. But wisdom cannot be, just as pleasure or money cannot be, our ultimate goal in life, can it? It can't be, because it will leave us wanting and leave us needing more. So that sets the stage for where we are in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Let's read the first 12 verses together and learn today from God's word. Verse 1 says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of birth. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness the face of the heart is made glad. The heart of the wise is the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is the house of mirth. It's better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fools. This also is, there's that word again, vanity. Yeah. Surely oppression drives the wise into madness, and a bribe corrupts the heart. Better is the end of a thing than its beginning, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. Say not, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. Wisdom is good, with an inheritance and advantage to those who see the sun. For the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money. And the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of him who has it. May God bless the reading and the teaching of his word today. I want you to leave your Bible open if you would. I want you to just look back, if you would, at the end of chapter 6. There's a question that begins in verse 12. Chapter 6, verse 12, right there at the end of chapter 6, it asks, "For who knows what is good for man while he lives the few days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow?" It's really setting up the answer that we're looking at here in chapter 7. The question is, who knows what is good for man? And I want us to be clear that this doesn't imply that we cannot know what is good. It simply implies to us, and as this, many of these things are a reminder, that we lack the ability to fully comprehend all that God is doing, don't we? We talked about this before. We cannot know all that God knows. When God sees time, he doesn't see a sliver like we do, does he? He sees eternity. And so because God's perspective is so different, we must realize that the question that we ask of who can know what is good is limited by only our understanding, isn't it? God knows what is good. God indeed knows what is good. But the preacher, like we do, we struggle sometimes. What's good about life? What's good about my existence? And all throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, we've talked about the ways that we seek after what is good. We seek after what is good in hundreds of thousands of different ways, don't we? We've sought for it in, well, you name it. You know what you seek after good in. And so you think about these things, you think, man, God, who can know what is good? And God says, I know what is good. I know what is good. I know what's good. And the preacher says, I'm starting to realize, though, even though I have trouble discerning what is good, I can discern what is better. You'll see all throughout the book, and especially throughout the next couple of chapters we're going to look at, there's this idea of better. This thing is better than this thing. Or this way is better than this way. Peanut butter is better than jelly. Okay? Nobody's with me on that one. Okay, fine. Crunchy peanut butter. Anyway, so that's fine. We won't get into that debate. No? Got some no's on that one. You're away. Good. Okay, so some things are better than other things. Now, so you think, well, okay, I'm ready to accept this, Lord, and so I want to see, and you begin to look. Look at chapter 7, look at verse 2. He says, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go into the house of feasting. Now, hang on. Now, if I would have written this, that's backwards, isn't it? Here's what I would say. It's better to go into the house of feasting, isn't it, than to go into the house of mourning. That's what you would say, right? I'd rather go into the house of feasting. And it says here in verse 3, it says, sorrow is better than laughter, right? Now, I don't know about you. I like to laugh. Would you rather laugh or have sorrow? What about you? You say, I don't like how this is written, Lord. I don't like this. Wait, you didn't write the Bible. Neither did I, right? You say, I like laughter better than... And then you say, look in verse 5, it's better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise. Who's going to go into work tomorrow and say, boss, will you please rebuke me for all that I've done? Please. I treasure your rebuke. It's not what you would... That's not how you would have written this, is it? It's not how any of us, if we're honest, would have written this. All three of these statements seem backwards, don't they? This seems weird. Why would the preacher say, this is better? I want you to remember something for a moment, though. When in your life have you gained the most wisdom and insight? Many times it's in sorrow. Many times it's in mourning. And many times it's in rebuke, isn't it? You think about that. Think about it. When did I learn some of the hardest lessons, but yet the strongest lessons in my life? Was it when I was laughing? And when I was feasting? No. It's when I was being rebuked. It was when I was mourning. And it was when I was in sorrow. Now, look, folks, I didn't set that up, but that's just the way life works, isn't it? You see, life sometimes is filled with a myriad of experiences, isn't it? Do you wake up every day and you say this at the end, then you lay down at night and you go, today was a perfect day? I haven't had many perfect days. Have you? I mean, something happens in the midst of every day, doesn't it? And some days just flat out stink. Is that okay? Can I say that? Some days stink. You wake up, stinks. Go to bed, still stinks. You're like, well, do it again tomorrow. I mean, it's just life. And so the preacher says, I want you to understand that some things are better, and it's not always the easy things. It's not always the smooth sailing. It's not always the perfect good life that you think is going to equal happiness and success. That's not it, is it? And he begins by reminding us, I'll tell you what's even more backwards than that for most of us. Actually, the better is it the day that you died than the day that you were born. You think, what in the world? When I was born, I had all the potential in the world. I was going to be the next president. And I was going to, you know, you remember when your kids are born, you're like, they're going to be everything. Then you just hope they graduate high school, you know? You know, it's just one of those things. You just, you know, potential. You have it all, but then it says, better is the day of your death. And why is that? It's because you lived life. And you walked after God, and I talked to you before about living in the dash of your life. Some people's is short and some is long. And you look back, I pray, at the end of your life. And the preacher says, I hope at the end of my life I can look back and say, I lived. I really lived. Boy, and some days weren't great, but some days were great. They were good. They were awesome. And I talked to you before, the good life is really just living life, isn't it? With people that you love, and worshiping with people that you love, and being in community with people that you love. That's good life. That doesn't mean every day is perfect, though. It doesn't mean every day is great. So what the good life looks like is a life that's centered on, let's just call it centered on reality. There's going to become a day of death. Everybody. If Jesus doesn't come back, there's coming a day of death for all of us. And it mentions a lot in here about laughter and fools. Did you hear all that? Fools and laughter. And I love to laugh. I enjoy it. Humor is a big part of me, and I'm thankful for laughter. This kind of laughter is not that kind of just jovial laughter. It's the laughter, basically, it really is better to find just kind of a delusional laughter. In other words, you've lost touch with reality. You know what I mean? You've laughed off everything, and you've kind of lost touch. In other words, that's foolish laughter, okay? That's laughter that's not centered on reality. That's a laughter that's being superficial and just not taking things as serious as God sometimes wants. So he says, I want you to understand, you got to value life, you got to value things, but you got to make sure you understand that sometimes we just got to be on our guard that we don't lose reality. And the reality is not always perfect. It's not always beautiful. There's some great verses here. Verses 7 and 8 there talk about, again, talks about oppression and bribes. We talked about that last week. Just rehash that, not a ton. And just, you know, be careful that money doesn't drive us to, you know, to success. And then it says there in verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. And then he mentions patience and anger. Why would he mention? I mean, nobody in here struggles with patience and anger, right? Have you driven a car? Right? I mean, both of those things are bothersome to me in that, you know? He's giving us practical application here and saying to us, you know, understand that it, when seeking after wisdom, you're going to need some help in patience, and you're going to need some help. Don't be quick to anger. Don't be quick. I mean, boy, well, you're just hitting me right over the head here, you know? I don't like these things. Preacher's saying to us, God's word is saying to us, in the pursuit of God, in the pursuit of wisdom, there's going to be a lot of stuff that, for lack of a better term, tries to trip us up. tries to make us stumble, doesn't it? Patience and anger are just a couple examples of 100 others that we could come up with, aren't they? It's the fool who acts impatience, and it's the fool that acts in anger. Then verses 11 and 12 kind of sum up the verse, the whole section. He says, wisdom is good with an inheritance. It's an advantage to those who see the sun. He says, the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money. And the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of him who has it. And you think, well, now, Justin, I was here last week and you told me money was bad. That's not what I said, by the way, but I'm just saying, if you were listening, I said the love of money, you know, the pursuit of it above all things is bad. So why would it say that money is a shelter? Well, because let's be honest, money is a shelter, okay? Do you need money to have a shelter? Literally, yes, you do. You know, I mean, it mentions this fact, but it says that better even than that is wisdom. See, that better is the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves. Boy, that word preserves, if you're an underliner, is important. You know what it means to preserve something? It's to keep, to hold, to have. And so wisdom preserves our life. It keeps our life. Lord, we need that, don't we? You ever tried to find wisdom on your own? I do that all the time, and boy, it's a failure most of the time, isn't it? Praise God that He in His wisdom keeps us and holds us. He doesn't say you're going to have eternal life. It doesn't say He preserves your life, that you're never going to die physically. It's not what He says. It says that He holds your life, whereas the other things that you place your faith in, do you know what they do? They fall and crumble away, don't they? They fall and crumble away, but yet wisdom keeps you and holds you. There's a great proverb about wisdom. Proverbs 3 says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. And what is the her in that? The her is wisdom. It's referring to the value of wisdom. Let me say it simply this. To embrace wisdom, godly wisdom, is really to embrace the good life, isn't it? To embrace riches and to embrace things, and even to unfortunately embrace physical people, or all these things, is to really head for disaster, because those things will fail and those things will fade away. And so to embrace wisdom is really to embrace the good life. Money is somewhat of a shelter, yes, but wisdom is a shelter. I was thinking about that this week, the word picture of that, you know. Anybody ever feel like it's just like storming on you, you know, like it's just coming down and the hail's starting to fall? And what do we run to and seek when that starts happening? We go and seek a shelter, don't we? When it hails on 820, there are 700 cars that try to park under the three awnings here at Grace Baptist Church. And I'm like, look, it only holds like two cars, okay? You know, there's honking and yelling. It really gets ugly. So anyway, you know, we seek out shelter. And folks, I just want to tell you, you're going to seek shelter in your life in a lot of different places. Pray that we seek shelter in the wisdom that is found only in God and only in the truth of His Word, and more specifically, in the person of Jesus Christ. Let me take you to the Gospels for just a minute, Matthew chapter 5. You don't have to turn there. I just want you to listen for just a second. Jesus is speaking in Matthew chapter 5 about the way to eternal life. And He speaks of two different ways to eternal life. And you know this story. There's a wide way, isn't there? Boy, many people go that way, don't they? It's appealing, and It's open, open freeway, right? And then there's another way. And what is that way called? It's the narrow way, isn't it? And it says in Matthew chapter 5 that only a few find it. And so when we look at life, I want you to understand that many people find the wide way. And that is the those are the voices that unfortunately bombard us with wisdom, don't they? I mean, you can pick it up. You don't even know you're picking it up, but you're picking it up. Church, we must be careful that we not only walk the narrow path, that we also listen to those who are on that path. We find that in God's word. We find that among God's people. You understand that if you walk a narrow path, you ever walked a narrow path? We were at the Grand Canyon a couple years ago. There's a couple of those paths. You want to be careful on there, okay? There's a lot of drop over on the other side of that path, right? And so when we walk the narrow path, we must understand that scripture, like today's scripture, tells us that there's a narrow road, and it's sometimes complex, and it's not always what we think it ought to be, and it always doesn't always look like the way we. Why is there sorrow? Why is there mourning? Why is there rebuke? And we must understand that God's wisdom is not always the wisdom of the world. It rarely is the wisdom of the world. We must listen to the wisdom of God. How do we do that? Here's the key point today. It's just this. Wisdom calls us to live life seriously. But this last part's important. It calls us to live life seriously with the whole course of the journey in mind. And let me explain that for just a second. What does it mean to live life seriously? You think, well, Justin, does that mean I have to be serious, like super serious all the time? Because y'all know me, I'm super serious all the time. Not really. I love to have a great time. I love that. So I'm not talking about your countenance being serious all the time. There's a time for joy. There's a time for laughing. But I do want you to understand that the wisdom of God tells us that there's appointed for a time for all of us to die, and then comes the judgment. You understand that the end of life comes, and there's a difference between heaven and hell and between life and death. And so when we look at life, we must look at life seriously. It's not a joke. The eternity of man is not a joke, is it? There are souls that you love and family members that you love whose eternity hangs in the balance. And that makes life serious, doesn't it? And so we must live that way, and we must understand that when we live life seriously, when we live life with eternity in mind, that causes us to see the whole course of the journey. In other words, trying to see things as instead of moment by moment, to try to look at it as a whole, as life as a whole. What do we screw up on most of the time when we give in to pleasure or we give in to temptation? It is a momentary, fleeting desire, isn't it? It happens just like that, and the next thing you know, we give in to it. Do we usually have any mind of eternity at that point? No, we don't, do we? What feels good now? What satisfies me now? So what I'm calling you to is a wisdom that takes a moment. It talked about it when it talked about patience and anger, didn't it? Of taking a step back and saying, God, give me an eternal perspective on every decision that I am about to make. Does that take discipline? Does that take work? You bet it does. But it's what God's work, it's what God's word calls us to. It calls us to a narrow road, church, that only a few find. I can't help but read this text and be reminded of the Beatitudes. Jesus says them in Matthew and Luke. Matthew chapter 5, he says, blessed are those who mourn. You remember the end of that? Because they'll be comforted. Luke chapter 6 says, blessed are those who weep, for soon they'll be laughing. They'll be filled with joy. You understand that I know the end of the story. We have a great advantage, don't we, over the preacher in Ecclesiastes. He was kind of a gloomy fellow. Remember one time he even said, I don't know what the end of the matter is. I'm like, come on, man. Well, I've got it. Okay? You've got it in front of you there. And so we know the end. We know the end of the story. And so blessed are those who seek wisdom. Because in the end, Christ has conquered death. He has defeated the grave. And because of that, you can live a life, a serious life, that seeks after godly wisdom. Here's the deal. On the path of the wide path, there's self-rule, and there's self-centeredness, and there's self-seeking. But on the narrow path of wisdom, there's a people that hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's a people who are merciful to others. There's a people of who are filled with the good things. And there are people who have integrity, and they pursue peace and justice. See, even in this seriousness, life is not gloomy or dreary. It's joyful in the fact that we have a Savior. We have a Savior, a Redeemer, one who has paved the path before us and allowed us to seek after wisdom. And then we're liberated, aren't we? We're freed from bondage, and we're free from sin, and yet, boy, we seem to seek after the things of ourselves so many times. God says, man, seek after me. Seek after my wisdom. Seek after my ways, and see the freedom that it brings. Lord, forgive us sometimes when we seek our shelter in everything but God, don't we? We're diving for cover under anything that we can find, and usually it collapses on top of us. But when we seek for shelter after Him, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of crying, in the midst of rebuke, you name it, we really find shelter, don't we? Today, may you be encouraged. May you be strengthened. May you be challenged to do just what Jesus said. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Let's pray for just a moment. Today is, again, a message that I hope you'll spend just a moment and excuse me, just reflect for a minute, internal. God, what is it today that I've tried to seek as a shelter for my life? God, what is it today that I've used to try to bring me joy or fulfillment? Lord, forgive me for those things. I know for me and for many of you here, if we're honest, sometimes we can fill in the blank with lots of things there. Surrender that today to Him in just a moment when we sing. Maybe you need to come and kneel, pray and release that, or pray with one of our prayer partners. They'd love to pray with you and just allow you to release that. Lord, just take that away from you. If you're here today and you've been forgiven, you've been saved by confessing Jesus as your Savior and Lord, then I want you to remember that in the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit, you have power and you have wisdom. Maybe you just need to cry out for that today. And today, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as Savior, you say, boy, I need that. I need a shelter that I can rely on. I need a strength that I can rely on, but I don't know how to even start. That's where you start. You just come and confess that you need Him. Come talk to our partners and come talk to me, and let us share with you how you can begin that journey. Father, in this time together, we simply pray. We simply pray for surrender. May distractions be removed from this place, God. May we cry out to you today, Lord, for wisdom. We need you. Forgive me when I try everything but calling out to you. Lord, let us surrender. Let us confess today. Lord, may your Spirit work in this place. May your Spirit fall. May we be obedient to you in everything that we do in this time of response. Pray that in Jesus' name today.